Eso sí, hija.
Oh, me tiene que ir a la sala de la
Once a couple of tubes to creep us in the way of the top, but it turned on by many boys. Madhulila, chapter 16. This takes place, this particular part of Chaitanya Charitamrita takes place when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has just come back from South India, and practically speaking, immediately he wanted to go to Vrindavan. But the thought of him leaving, especially so quickly, just after he returned, was intolerable for Maharaj Pataparudra, who earlier understood that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was none different from Lord Jagannath, was the same. It's actually a wonderful pastime described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, how King Maharaj Pataparudra, he wanted to have darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not let him see him because the king was the king, obviously. But why wouldn't he want to see a king? Because Mahaprabhu was playing the role of a perfect sannyasi, and really a sannyasi from a time when the culture was so much more intact, and sannyasis had to be renounced, and sannyasis had to be extremely careful of what? Of dealing with materialism, and what or who has more material facilities than a king? Wealth, women, power, and a king's false ego. And there's always a tendency for a conditioned soul, when in the association of these powerful elements, especially when they're displayed, these opulences are displayed in a strong way, as a king may display them, that the tendency to enjoy, or the false ego that I could have had this, I could have this, what could I have, what could I get? This can be, what is it called? When it blossoms, yes, that's a good one, or manifest of blossom, that's it. And this is the tendency, because the false ego means the enjoying spirit, which immediately puts us in competition with Krishna, because our sabha britta ekala is for a Krishna. Krishna is the only controller. And to enjoy, you have to control. So these opulences, the kingly opulences, they are all Ishwara bhav. They are all in the mood of controlling, and for the purpose of can be used for the purpose of enjoyment. So when a person who has a tendency to enjoy, and every conditioned soul will have a tendency to act on the false ego level, the enjoying spirit can easily blossom or rear its serpent-like head. So therefore, renunciants who wanted to detach themselves, their commitment and was to detach themselves from the material world, not the material world in the sense of not having anything to do with matter, because who can not have anything to do with matter? After all, our bodies are matter. We see the Jain Digambars, what are they called? Where they're completely renounced from even clothes, but they wear a cloth over there like that. But how can you be renounced from breathing? Can you be renounced from using your eyes? How can a soul in this world not have anything to do with matter? Can you be renounced from drinking water and eating at least something? No, so one's renunciation is actually limited. Possibility of renunciation is limited. So the perfection of the sannyas order is nirbandha, Krishna sambandha, everything used in relationship with Krishna, with no attempt to use matter for my pleasure. So this is the perfection of the sannyas order. So Mahaprabhu, wanting to exhibit the activities and the behavior of a perfect sannyasi, he would not see the king. So he, even though the king was a devotee, actually a great devotee, so the king, he allowed the king to see him while he was dancing in ecstasy during one of the kirtans. So the king and his wives, they climbed to the roof of the palace, and from there they could see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing during the kirtan. And Mahaprabhu was exhibiting the positive side of renunciation, because we give up matter. Our attempt is to give up matter in the sense of giving it up with an enjoying spirit. But for what purpose? If we just give up matter and have nothing, we can't exist like that. We can't live like that, because the soul naturally desires, it wants. It wants a fulfillment. So unfortunately, influenced by the material energy of Maya, the soul seeks its fulfillment in the realm of matter, where it cannot actually taste the sweetness that the soul that he's actually desiring. So Mahaprabhu was exhibiting the positive side of renunciation, or the most extreme and deep attachment to Krishna during Krishna Kirtana. He was jumping high, he exhibiting in the mood of a devotee, Krishna, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya, Krishna in the mood of a devotee, was jumping high. The soul, looking at him as a devotee, was experiencing ecstasy. He would fall to the ground. He would cry. He would laugh. And tears would come from his eyes like torrents of rain, or as described in the 13th chapter of this, they would push from his eyes like the water would come from a syringe, shoot from his eyes, and would sprinkle all the fortunate people who were nearby or even at a distance from him. This is the soul in ecstasy, working on the spiritual platform. The ecstasies are inconceivable, practically speaking. So part of his ecstasies is that where that foam was coming from his mouth, and saliva was coming from his mouth, and he was rolling in the dust, and his body mixing with the saliva and the foam from his mouth was covered with the dust from the ground. And the king looked at him, and even though he was seeing that Mahaprabhu and heard that Mahaprabhu was a great devotee, and he saw Mahaprabhu's kirtan, there was a part of him that was repelled by the saliva and the foam in the dirt from the ground. He didn't say anything, but inside he pulled back and had a doubt. What is this? How could... So that night he had a dream. And he was a great devotee of Lord Jagannath. And Lord Jagannath came to him in his dream. And Lord Jagannath had foam from his mouth and saliva coming from his mouth. And the king was in a worshipable mood to Lord Jagannath, because he had full faith that Jagannath was the Lord. And even it's historically written that when Hussein Shah and one of his generals attacked Jagannath Puri while fighting with Pratapurjanraj, when Pratapurjanraj was in the south, they had got as far as Jagannath Puri, and the devotees, the pujaris, took Lord Jagannath and hid him in... There's a lake, Chilka Lake, and they hid him in there. And when Maharaj Prataparuja came back from and drove away these jihadis, he drove them away. He defeated them and drove them away. He had a dream, and Lord Jagannath chastised them, not for driving them away, but you are so careless. You let this happen. They actually came into the temple. And Lord Jagannath came to him in his dream, and he chastised him. You're so careless to let this happen. So he had another dream at this point, and Lord Jagannath came to him and said, oh, you worship me when I'm in this form of Lord Jagannath, but you're repelled when I'm in this form. And then he showed his form as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing in that way. So after that, the king was a firm devotee of Mahaprabhu. So now Mahaprabhu had just come back, and they couldn't tolerate the fact that he was going to leave again to Vrindavan. So the king, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, also in the same situation, and Ramananda Roy, also in the same situation, they sort of made a conspiracy. And they thought of one excuse after the next, just to keep Mahaprabhu from leaving. So they would say, oh, it is too cold now to go to Vrindavan. Just wait a little longer until the warm season comes. See the holy festival, and then you can go. And then when after the holy festival, oh, it's so hot in Vrindavan. Just wait till it's a little bit cooler. First see the Rath Yatra. So when the Rath Yatra came down, oh, it's rainy season now. Just wait till this, and wait till that. So during this time, and Mahaprabhu, of course, knows what's going on. But he saw his relationship, the way he deals with his devotees, is so full of sweetness that he's captured by them and he's controlled by them, and he doesn't say anything. So while this is going on, while Mahaprabhu was staying in Puri, the devotees from Bengal are so happy because they have the opportunity to visit him, because they had been missing him so dearly. Just, of course, we can't quite imagine, but we can take something our most dearly beloved, and then when we are apart from that dearly beloved person, we think of them constantly, and our heart feels a longing. So imagine these most exalted personalities in their relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord, who's unlimitedly attractive. So they were so happy, and they came for 4 months. They came for the Rath Yatra festival, and then they stayed. So now it's time for them to leave, to go back to Bengal. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had just taken Lord Nityananda Prabhu aside and said, "Please, oh holy man, I don't want you to come next year. I don't want you to come. Because I want you to preach. I want you to preach in Gaudadesh. I want you to preach in Bengal. Because Bengal is such a place that unless Bengal is filled with Nitai Prem, then it cannot be saved." So Mahaprabhu told Nityananda Prabhu, "I cannot find anyone in Gaudadesh who can fulfill my mission there. So you please, you can perform this task that even I cannot do." So don't come to Jagannath Puri every year, but stay in Bengal, fulfill my desire. So Prabhupada, we read Prabhupada's purport to that, a very wonderful purport. And now we're going to hear this verse. And then this is a nice long purport for a while, but it's very powerful. Oh no, there's more. Prabhupada will speak to us. So Mahaprabhu said, "Tan siddhi kore hena ani na deke. I cannot see anyone but you. Amara duskara karma toma hoite hai. You can perform a task that even I cannot do. But for you, I cannot find anyone in Gaudadesh who can fulfill my mission there." Duskara, something very my difficult to perform. Duskara, difficult to perform kare work. Only you can make it successful. So here, on one hand, there's Mahaprabhu, and on the other hand is the service of Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu is specifically saying, "You're going to have to give up my association, not you have to, but please don't come, you stay and preach." So here's Prabhupada's purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Lord Chaitanya's mission is to deliver the fallen souls of this age. In this age of Kali, practically 100%. Did we read this one? Yes. Okay, then we'll read the next one. So why did Nityananda Prabhu reply? "Oh Lord, you are the life and I am the body. There is no difference between the body and the life itself. But life is more important than the body. By your inconceivable energy, you can do whatever you like. And whatever you make me do, I do without restriction." I'll read that again. There are two verses here. Nityananda Prabhu replies, "Oh Lord, you are the life, and I am the body. There is no difference between the body and the life itself. But life is more important than the body. By your inconceivable energy, you can do whatever you like. And whatever you make me do, I do without restriction." In other words, I am surrendered. Here is Srila Prabhupada's purport. As stated in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, "Tene Brahma Riddha Ya Adikavaye." Lord Brahma is the first living creature within this universe. So which words in that verse mean first living person? Okay. So what does Brahma mean?
Lord Brahma.
Huh? Lord Brahma, no. Brahma here means like Brahman. Krishna went, inspired him within his heart. The supreme spiritual truth entered the heart of the Adi Kavi, the first Kavi, Lord Brahma. obtain it within the heart of the first Brahma, the Lord inspired him. Lord Brahma is the first living creature within this universe, and he is also the creator of this universe. Now, how could the first living creature in the universe be the creator? Because he's in the universe, and then he creates it. How is this possible, Prabhupada says? Although he's the first living entity, Lord Brahma is not in the category of Vishnu Tattva. He's the creator. He's created and the creator, in other words. Rather, he is part of the Jiva Tattva. He's not Vishnu Tattva. Nonetheless, by the grace of the Lord, who instructed him through the heart, Tene Brahma Vidha, Lord Brahma could create a huge universe. Those who are actually pure devotees of the Lord are instructed by the Lord through the heart, where the Lord is always situated. Ishwara Savabhutanam Riddhise Arjuna Tishiti. If he follows the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity, even though an insignificant creature, can perform the most difficult task by the Lord's grace. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Tesam satate yuktanam madatam pritipurvakam tadami buddhiyogam tam yenam amopiyantate. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Krishna, the dummy, I give the understanding. Buddhiyogam yenam amopiyantate. I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. Everything is possible for a pure devotee because he acts under the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Through the Supreme Personality of Godhead's inconceivable energy, a pure devotee can perform tasks that are supposed to be very, very difficult. He can perform tasks not even previously performed by the Lord himself. Oh, Prabhupada is hinting something. Therefore, Nityananda Prabhu told Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I'm carrying Yari Karaha Sekori Nahika Niyam. I do not know by what regulative principle I'm carrying out this wonderful work, but I know for certain that I will do whatever you desire. Although the Lord wants to give all credit to his devotee, the devotee himself never takes credit. He acts only under the Lord's direction. Consequently, all credit goes to the Lord. This is the nature of the relationship between the Lord and his devotee. The Lord wants to give all credit to his servant, but the servant does not take any credit, for he knows that everything is carried out by the Lord. Okay, what do you remember from this purport? And what struck you?
The devotee can do things that even Krishna can.
Yes. Well, Krishna hasn't. So, an example given previously was that Mahaprabhu, he preached to very high class people, converted very high class people, and Nityananda Prabhu changed the hearts of Jagai and Madhai, who were very fallen. Anyone else remember anything else?
The Lord wants to give credit to his devotee, but the devotees don't want to take the credit. They know it comes from the Lord.
What comes from the Lord?
Whatever ability they might have used to perform there.
Yeah, whatever success comes from his potency. Because the devotees are gifted Krishna's Kripa Shakti. His potency of mercy, so therefore they can do wonderful things. So, I want more. Do you remember anything else?
I was struck by the comment Nityananda Prabhu made in the text that you are the life and I'm just the body.
Mm. So what does that mean?
Well, the body is just a via medium for the life of spirit.
Yeah, the life to act. It's the life that acts through the body. So the metaphor is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the one acting through Nityananda Prabhu. Any more? Anything interesting, striking, or
that
there's something
more important than the life?
The truth comes out. The example is given that when a body, the life has left the body, is immediately burned or something. Consider these laws. Okay, something else. Thank you. One very important point that I remember. Anyone else? What is the qualification or the character of the body, or in this case Nityananda Prabhu, or in Prabhupada speaking of the pure devotee, that allows the life or Mahaprabhu's mercy or Krishna's mercy to work through? Or causes it. Yeah, I'll read what Prabhupada said in his purport. A different translation of this verse, practically speaking. He quoted Sekaraha. Sekori Nahika Niyam. I do not know by what regulative principle I'm carrying out this wonderful work, but I know for certain that I will do whatever you desire. So in that is the surrender, the loving surrender, the devoted loving surrender of a soul, a pure devotee, which is what makes him a pure devotee, there's no other desire, practically speaking, no mixture of karma or jnana in his consciousness, desire for karma, to gain anything for himself on either the physical gross level or the subtle level. He's cultivating his Krishna consciousness based on that much sincerity and purity of service. So therefore, because he surrendered in that way, I don't know how I'm doing this wonderful work, but all I know is that I will do whatever you desire. I am surrendered. Your desire is working through me, in other words. Your desire, my desire has become one with your desire, which is the opposite of the way materialistic religion works, where you want your desire to become one. God's desire to be the same as your desire, because you want him to desire what you desire, and then you want a new Mercedes Benz, so you want him to desire that you get a new Mercedes Benz, and but that's not the opposite. That is the opposite of what pure devotional service is, that I want my desire to surrender to your desire. I want to please you. That is my desire. So therefore, as Prabhupada says here, everything is possible for a pure devotee, because he acts under the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You want me to do this? You want me to? And we see how much this is so directly applicable to Srila Prabhupada. Because Guru Maharaj wanted him to preach in the English language, and he took that, his life and soul, and at 70 years old. It's such an amazing story that people will be telling that story again and again for hundreds of years, how such an elderly gentleman going to New York with no money, going on a boat, and not when he gets off the boat, he doesn't know anyone. He's never met anyone in the country, in the whole place. He does not know whether to go left or right. So such dependence, but yet such determined desire. So to fulfill the order of His Guru Maharaj and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to let Krishna consciousness be spread to every town and village of the world. So, and something miraculous happened. We could say even that something impossible happened. Let it happen. And it's continuing to happen, which is even more amazing. His potency is working, still working. So it sounds so wonderful and so nice and so but it is not cheap. It takes, because we would like it if, okay, I'll stand and do what you want, and then we sort of stay 90% the same, and then we want Krishna to do something wonderful for us or something. But the price is everything. That we have to be actually free from material desires, and we have to be willing to be used by Krishna, be instrumental. Nimitta karan bhavya savya sachin. That's what Krishna told Arjuna. I want you to, all these people here on this battlefield, you look, this is what Krishna said when you showed him the Arjuna, the universal form, his form of time. Time I am, and I've come to destroy everyone. These people are already killed. Such a horrible sounding thing, they're already, because it describes in the 11th chapter how Arjuna, when he was looking at the universal form, or the actually color of the form of time, he saw all the warriors and all the fighters entering into the mouth of the universal form and being gobbled up by time. And he said, what is this form that's destroying everyone in such a horrible way, one could say a cruel way? And Krishna's reply is that this is Kalosman, this is the form of time. My form of time. I am time. And I've come to destroy everything. This is the time factor. It's not stoppable. It is Krishna's potency. And it destroys everything. The things that you like, the things that you don't like, crushed into very fine powder and recycled. As the soul moves on. So in the midst of all this, Krishna tells Arjuna Nimitta Karan, I want you to be the instrumental cause of my desire. Bhavya, Savya Sachin, or Savya Sachin. What does Savya Sachin mean? Ambidextrous use of weapons. With either hand, he can shoot his bow with such expertise. Oh Arjuna, I want you to be my instrument in this destruction. It's going to happen anyway, and I want you to be my instrument. But that's, Krishna doesn't only want us to be instrumental in doing things like that. Like he asked Arjuna, but he asked Prabhupada, basically, to be instrumental in spreading Krishna consciousness. That kind of mercy, more obvious type of mercy, throughout the world. He's asked different devotees to do different things through the order of spiritual master, and some they might be as, they can't be as grand as what Prabhupada did, but you can't actually do anything. One can't really do anything successfully without Krishna's in Krishna's service, without Krishna's empowering. And you see that in so many humble devotees, like how the deities are dressed in certain places. Krishna's giving the inspiration. How someone can cook in such a wonderful way. We saw that with the devotees, some of the old proper disciples, cooks in Vrindavan, Vibhu Chaitanya, an elderly person. There's so many devotees. Or even an angel calls Kirtas, where he really started something moving, you know, that really went around the world. So there's so many devotees, I just named them a few, but so many devotees are doing things by Krishna's power. And all the devotees, all the devotees think the Lord wants to give all credit to his servant, but the servant does not take any credit, for he knows that everything is carried out by the Lord. It's like nowadays when you sometimes you ask the devotees who are cooking for the deities, all very nice prasadam, say, oh, Radharani cooked it. I didn't cook it. It's a very deep thing, obviously. So in this way, so Prabhupada has written a very wonderful purport here. That's very, 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 it says so much. So, and it makes us, does it bring up any questions within oneself?
Question, but I just wanted to hear
we'll answer that one. But I wanted to ask, does this, hearing a purport like this, bring up any question, not a technical question, but what does it do when you hear it? What does it do in the consciousness? Is it confronting? What do I really want? You know, and I'd like to be able to do that, but I don't want to pay the price. I can't pay the price. I want to. I'm so mixed. It's humbling. It's embarrassing. It's humiliating. All those things. That's kind of. Yes or no? What we think? Yes. Anyway. There was a Christian preacher. After his lecture, he said, after his sermon, he said, if after hearing my sermon you feel good, I've not done my job very well. So one question that comes up, in response to the confronting feeling that the humiliating feeling is we become humble. Because humble means that you don't rebuild your false ego. You stay in a feeling fallen and ask Krishna to help you with, how can I move forward? How can I advance? So maybe you can think about that question if you so desire at this point. How can I advance? What I've seen is that if you ask that question, what step that's in my capacity can I take that will actually help me advance at this point, that's in my capacity, because maybe I can't go from this position where I am right to that position, which is so exalted. But what can I do to take a step forward, if you ask yourself that? Why don't you ask yourself that question? That's within my capacity. Take a step forward. And how many of you able to answer that question for yourself? Not tell me what it is, but how many of you can answer that question for yourself? Two. Me too. Only us three. Anyone else can answer that question? I'm not going to ask you what it is, don't worry. Do you know what to do? No? Well, one thing is, if you're not sure what to do, you can simplest of chant better. Associate with devotees. Hear, associate with Shastra. Serve, offer a little more service, simple and obvious things. Pray to the deities. Pray to the devotees. Yes, you had a question you want to come.
I just wanted to hear.
Did you have an answer to that personally?
Especially if Krishna
gives you a special, some little special ability, not special in the sense of no one else has it, but just an ability to use that in Krishna's service is often a good indication of the direction. Whatever he gives us, we give to him, offer to him back. Yes, excuse me.
No, I just wanted to hear what Srila Prabhupada said that was similar to what Nityananda
said. Nityananda said, he gave a different translation than he gave in his own verse. He said here, Achintya Shakti Korotumi Tahar Gatana Yekaraya Ekore Nahika Niyama. So that was the second line of the verse. So the translation here is by your inconceivable energy, that's not the part proper said here, you can do whatever you like. Tumi Tahira Gatana. And whatever you make me do, I do without restriction. Whatever you make me do, I do without restriction. So, and then Prabhupada translated again, but in the purport, he quoted those words. Ye karaha se kore nahika niyama. So he translated that here. Whatever you like, whatever you make me do, I do without restriction. He said, I do not know by which regulative principles, that's niyam, which is restriction there. I do not know by what regulative principle I'm carrying out this wonderful work. But I know for certain that I will do whatever you desire. So I know for certain I will do whatever you desire. Whatever you make me do, I do without restriction. Which one do you like more? Well, both of them. Sure. The one that is purport.
Yeah.
A little more emotive. Any other questions? So this again, what this is the frame of reference that this particular thing we've read in is that Mahaprabhu was, all the devotees are leaving, and Mahaprabhu was having exchanges with them as they're leaving and going back to Bengal. So Advaita Charya, there was a mysterious exchange that no one could understand. It was just by glances. With Nityananda Prabhu, he told them, that's what we heard, you go and preach. And in this way, Sri Chaitanya embraced Nityananda Prabhu and bade him farewell. He then bade farewell to all the other devotees, all the bhaktagan, sub-bhaktagan, all the other devotees. And this way he bade them farewell. As in the previous year, one of the inhabitants of Kulinagram submitted a petition to the Lord saying, my Lord, kindly tell me what my duty is and how should I execute it. Now, for all of those who didn't have an answer when they asked themselves that question, how can I go forward, we could retranslate that question, how can I go forward, to, I don't know what my duty is, mm-hmm. and how should I execute it. How is Mahaprabhu going to instruct the residents of Kulinagram and all of us? What will he say? Would you like to hear? Vaishnava Seva Nama Sankirtan Duikara Sigra Pave Si Krishna Charan. The Lord replied, you should engage yourself in the service of the servants of Krishna and always chant the holy name of Krishna. If you do these two things, duikari, you will very soon attain Sri Krishna Charana, shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. And then they asked a question. the inhabitants of Kalinagram, Kalinagram said, "Please let me know who is actually a Vaishnava and what his symptoms are." And understanding his mind, the inhabitant of Kalinagram, in other words, the inhabitants, plural, but here it says singular. "Please let me know who is actually a Vaishnava and what his symptoms are." Understanding his mind, understanding what was really the sort of the engine driving the question, what was really pushing this type of a question to come. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and gave the following reply. What was the question? What are the symptoms of a Vaishnava? A person, this is Mahaprabhu's reply, a person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord is to be considered a first-class Vaishnava, and your duty is to serve his lotus feet. And interestingly enough, and there's a long purport here which we'll read tomorrow, but then the next verse is, the following year, the inhabitants of Kalinagram again asked the Lord the same question. Interesting. And hearing this question, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again taught them about the different types of Vaishnavas. So here they ask the question, and he explains what the topmost Vaishnava is. And then the next year, this means that Mahaprabhu is not going to go to Vrindavan again. And he asked the same question again to get some more detail on the answer. And he told them not only about the first class kind of Vaishnava, but also three different kinds of Vaishnava, he explains. But he's going to say, which is also a nice question, he's going to say the next year, so what was the first year? What was his answer? And the second year, he says, a first-class Vaishnava is he whose very presence makes others chant the holy name of Krishna. He's chanting, and just by his association, others chant also. Okay, we'll stop here. And ask if there's any questions or comments, and tomorrow we'll read it. Krishna willing. Maybe what Prabhupada's going to tell us about first class Vaishnava this year, and maybe we'll be able to read the second one. And Prabhupada's purport is going to also describe other kinds of Vaishnavas. And there's really some nice verses. Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments?
Kalinagram, that's Mahaprabhu was back in Bengal, Puri?
No, Mahaprabhu was in Puri. And the devotees from Kalinagram that came. And I believe that the last time they had come, during the Rath Yatra, he gave them a service when he saw that when they were carrying the Jagannath, what's it called again, when they, Pandu Vijay. When they carry Lord Jagannath, it's called Pandu Vijay, and they put him down on cushions. They carry him with ropes, silken ropes, and the ropes broke. So Mahaprabhu gave them the service of bringing silken ropes, but that were much stronger, that wouldn't break, during the Pandu Vijay ceremony when they carry Lord Jagannath more than two times, out to the cart, from the cart to Gandicha, from Gandicha to back to the cart, and then back into the temple. So they had gotten some service, and they always would do that. It's their service. They valued that. Because also they were doing service. They had a relationship. That's the relationship that we have with Krishna. It's one of service. Nitya Krishna, that's, this is who we are. So that's also an interesting thought, isn't it? It's like, who am I? I'm a Krishna's servant. This is my constitution or my dharma. It's not the dharma. This is who I am. And unless we act who we are, we'll be acting not who we are. And acting not who we are is not very comfortable. We don't feel quite right.
Kalila grounds over in Bengal, or?
Yeah, it's the residence of Bengal. What, where's Kalila again? Do you know?
It's very close to Kharagpur somewhere.
Where's Kharagpur?
Bihar, Bengal border. Just the answer of what I have said.
So it's on the which side? The western side, eastern side?
It's towards going to Puri. It's a Kharagpur. Oh. And how we come from Mathura to go to Puri through that Utkal Express. So we come all the way to Kharagpur, which is the Bengal border. Okay. And then we go up to Puri. So that's pretty much where it is.
Okay. Google it. Okay, you did. I'm surprised you didn't pull out your phone already. Because it used to be that you'd go to your computer, but now can't do it. Oh, how nice. Bring your phone. What to do without my phone? Any other questions? Yeah.
I've got two questions about the spirit of surrender. The first question is, if a person, the devotee sincerely desires to grow and say that Krishna arranges a situation where whereby he facilitates him to surrender, but sometimes we wonder that situation is our own doing, that we get into a complicated situation and then we try to, oh, this is Krishna's arrangement.
So what's the answer to that?
So I'm not sure how do we see that.
How do we see it is one thing, but how do, because we may see it one way one day and another way another day. But the question is, who do we ask to confirm our thought? So the answer is, we ask Gurus, or we ask, or if that's not practical, we ask Vaishnavas who we trust, senior Vaishnavas who we trust.
Second question.
Is that all right for the first one? Yeah, because this is the principle. This is what Prabhupada even said to Sanatana Goswami, that Sanatana Goswami asked questions to me. He said, you know the answers to these questions, but it's the nature of Vaishnava or Sadhu to confirm what he already knows. So even if you think you're right, even if you think you understand this is where I should be in this surrender, or I think I should move from the situation, we always ask seniors, those who trust superiors, to confirm.
The second question is, the spirit of surrender that we were discussing about, is it something that comes through our own endeavor? Because we always see everything in terms of mercy of the Lord. So is it when we practice by chanting and serving other Vaishnavas, and gradually that spirit comes by mercy of the Lord, or is based on our own?
But things come to us by the mercy of the Lord, by His mercy, when He so desires. That's what His mercy means. But what is going to make the Lord inclined to give us that mercy? And that's a sincere attempt. I mean, it's not only that he can do it without that, but the sincere attempt and humility and inability, but the sincere attempt tends to make the Lord inclined to give us mercy. So it's a combination of the two in one sense. The example that, that I tend to use is like, because the Bhagavad Gita, the question is asked about who is the doer, because Krishna says kataham iti manite. But then in the 18th chapter, he explains there are more than one doers. There's different factors in action, and one of them is the super soul. So the example that I like is that, say there's a young child, little child, baby, practically speaking, two-year-old, and the two-year-old wants to lift something very heavy. So the two-year-old doesn't have the ability to lift something heavy, but he sees that the adults have lifted it, so he goes and picks it up, tries to pick it up, but he can't pick it up. But then when his father sees that he's trying to do it, the father goes on both sides and says, okay, try again. And the father does the work, and the child thinks, oh yes, now I'm doing it, I'm lifting it. And the father says, oh, you're so strong, you've done it. And the child says, yes, I'm very strong, and I've done it. So who's lifted it? So on one level, we could say the father has lifted it, because in fact the father has lifted it. But what has impelled the father to lift it is the child's attempt. So from the other point of view, you could say it's the child did it because of the child's attempt, desire and attempt, that invoked the father's strength. So it depends which level you want to look at it. But without endeavor, even some endeavor, why will Krishna be inclined?
So going back to the answer.
But what is, you know that logical phrase, necessary but not sufficient. So our attempt is necessary. It's not 100% necessary, because Krishna is 100% independent, so he can just go honorary degree. But if we don't just sit around and anyway, honorary degree may come. Anyway, just like we don't sit around and say, I'll just open my mouth and see if any food walks in. Hope no food walks in, actually. Yeah, go ahead.
Two things with serve the Vaishnava and chant the holy name. So if you do these things sincerely, this is an attempt, and that will lead to growth and eventual surrender.
And more than that, you'll very soon attain sigra. Is that a common Bengali word?
Very soon, yeah, sigra.
Sigra. Pavi, you will get Sri Krishna Charan. Sigra. Is it also Hindi? Hindi?
Also Gujarati.
Also Gujarati. Anyways, for everyone. Sigra.
Thank you very much.
So does he really mean it? That is maybe. So this should be a quality of the two. If it's done in a business way, okay, I'm going to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Okay, where is it? I'll do a little service. Okay, where's Krishna's lotus feet? So it's not meant in a mechanical way like that, because chanting should be chanting with true desire for service. The intention should be right too, and thinking that the serving the Vaishnava is serving Krishna, and I want to serve Krishna, and they're kind, so let me serve, not in a business way, but in a devotional way. This is sadhana, my Lord, please tell me what my duty is and how I should execute it. So the bungalow is the Koila Nivedan, they made a petition. Prabhu, oh my Lord, Agya Kari Amar Kartavya Sadhana. What is the proper, the necessary sadhana that will make me advance? They submitted this petition to him. Please tell me what sadhana I should do. You order me. He even said, Agya Kore. You order me. And this is what his order was. What do you think? What do you think?
Think about which?
About the question and the answer.
I forgot the essence.
But what do you think about it?
It's difficult. It's a struggle.
What's the struggle?
Struggle to let go of the ego.
Oh, wait a second. He asked for a sadhana so I can advance, and Mahaprabhu's reply wasn't let go of the ego. He just said, engage yourself in the service of Krishna, and always chant the holy name of Krishna. So you...
But without...
No, but... But you try. You just try. Oh, this is what Mahaprabhu was ordering. And I said, try to always chant. Then I said, always chant. So let me try to follow his order. I may be incapable. I am incapable. But let me try. Let me serve the devotees and chant always. Let me try my best. If Krishna gives me an opportunity, if he reminds me that I should chant, and it gives me an opportunity for service, let me try my best. And not say, but. I know it's true, but. I mean, I'm saying this to myself also, not just to you, but yeah, this is what we should. So we should put our effort in on this level. He's giving us a clear directive of something we can do. So we can say, I can't always chant, but we can't say, I can't chant. So let us try to chant as much as we can. And we can say, I can't always serve the Vaishnavas, but I can also try to see what situation I'm in and try to serve through the devotees, through that situation, and try my best to serve. So these instructions should encourage us, not discourage us. Because we can't do it perfectly, doesn't mean we shouldn't make our attempt sincerely. And the imperfectness of our attempt will bring us humility, which will bring us improvement in these areas. Okay, any last questions? Yes.
In my short experience, I've learned that my mind has a tendency to accept and reject the devotional service, which is convenient to me and which is not convenient to me. So as you said earlier in the class that we should have the objective of advancing in our spiritual life, not to this extent, but to try to get to the next level of our spiritual advancement. So how to cope with a situation where our mind is constantly accepting and rejecting the devotional service that may come our way?
If you ask how we should do it, but then you can give general principles. But see, that's what, therefore, like brahmachari, some brahmachari training is very helpful, because the essence of brahmachari training is submission. But when it starts young, it's easy, because naturally a child has to do what he's told. When they're old, 5 or so, naturally. So here we are, older, and how old are you now?
30.
30, already stubborn and set in the ways and lazy and misguided and everything like that.
and here I am with, you know, my own habits and everything like that. So it's not as easy. So sometimes we can take a couple of weeks and just go and live in the Brahma somewhere where it's a little austere and just tell our mind to be quiet and just do what you you don't have everything set around your needs and things like that. So sometimes that can be very helpful. Or you can, sometimes there's a lot of service that needs to be done at a particular time. There's a festival coming or something. And sometimes we can push ourselves a little out of our comfort zone by doing a little more than we naturally would like to, and we feel very happy doing that. Or sometimes there's preaching that we do. Say you have a bhakti bhiksu group right now, so you can be sure that's not always going to be fun, and that every week when it happens you're going to feel, yes, I want to do this. Some weeks you're not going to feel like doing it, and you do it anyway. So this is what we do. We take up a service. This is the practical level that we can do it. You take up a service and you do it in a steady way, whether you feel like it or not. It's the practical way. Or you commit yourself in chanting to a certain amount of rounds every day and sincerely trying to chant attentively or a certain amount of reading every day. So to do anything in a regular way means that some days you're going to feel like it and some days you're not going to feel like it, and not letting that stop you from doing it. Does that answer your questions?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. It's already late, sorry.